Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coaching Conversations. This is your life coach and host, Sean Schakowsky, and I am here with the wonderful Moni Visco. How are you, Moni?
I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome. So today we are going to be talking about adapting to change. I think a great topic. Everyone, whether they like it or not, needs to deal with change. So I think it's a great topic just to shed some perspective on and awareness and maybe give some tips and the importance of adapting to change. And I know, Moni, you asked me about the topic. I believe it was in correlation. I think you had family members adjusting to change. I don't know if you want to share a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought of it because my daughter has brought this up a couple times. She went to college last year, and she didn't have a very good year. And so she always said she is never going to be, I'm not going to be happy ever again because I can't go back to the way it was in high school because she had a really great high school experience. She had a boyfriend for 4 years, and then he broke up with her at the beginning of college. So that was a big change. So she had a lot of changes in her life at one time, and it took her a long time to get, I feel like just only now, which has been about a year, that I'm feeling like she's sort of adapting to the change of circumstance in her life. And I think there's some things that we can do to be a little more resilient when change happens, because change is inevitable for all of us. Because then that's what I always said to her. The only thing that's certain is change. Like, there's nothing else that you can really rely on, that's going to happen. A change is always going to happen. And we are just so resistant to it. I mean, it's just as humans, most of us resist it. So I just thought it was a good topic because it's not for everything.
I think
go through change.
You've touched upon a lot of the whole concepts of change. I think why it's so important is I know most people, when they think of change, they think of choice change or circumstance, jobs, decision, their surroundings, getting up people. But I think what really is profound, too, is what you're saying is why everyone can relate to this is just the fact that transitioning in life, growing older, maturing, these are natural changes that sometimes some are good, and even adapting to good change can be difficult. Transitioning to the next step, growing older, letting go of the past, which is actually a component of adapting to change, and how I think we embrace it is very important in how we receive change. Great topic. So we touched upon it. I want to give a little bit of how people can reach us before we really get into our conversation, and then we'll go from there, Moni. Is that okay?
Yep, that sounds great.
Okay, so we are both, Moni and I, can be reached through the website of Western New York Life Coaching Center, which is wnylifecoaching.com, and you can reach us directly at 716-560-6552. In the course of our conversation, if something resonates with you, something you want to explore more, or just have perspective with another coach, feel free to reach out to Moni and I. We will welcome any type of outreach from our listeners. Okay, with that, Moni, let's go with your daughter. I think end of July, so it is a great topic, going back to school, or recent graduates. That is upheaval in change. Again, like you said, change is a constant part of life. Whether the change is positive or negative, you probably can't or shouldn't try to stop it.
No. And there's some. You can't stop it.
You can't. And I'm gonna let us explore, because I do some health and wellness coaching, and they gave us some tips to be harden yourself, I guess, is really the best word, and be able to cope with change. What do you think is one of the single most important elements in coping with change?
Mindset. Yeah, that's what I think, because it's all how you're going to look at a situation. If you you have to accept reality. I mean, you might not like it at first, but accept it and then change your mindset around it.
Beautiful.
Because if you think
things
should, you know, should be a certain way, then, and they're not, then you're going to suffer.
Right. The word that comes to me, but really I think the component of the word is it has a lot to do with perspective, mindset,
mm-hmm.
emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
whatever word you want to resonate. But they say, you know, why do some people thrive in the face of challenges while others are merely struggling to survive? You know, you take a moment to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they suggest is resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
Life is going to be full of challenging situations, some good, some bad, stress, both on mental and physical. What is interesting is resiliency is an ability. It is a life skill that you can sharpen
mm-hmm.
or feed mm-hmm. into. And I want to get into that dynamics, but I want to see if you have any thoughts about maybe what you think people feel when going through change. Let's do that. Let's identify with our listeners. And then I like really strongly to leave our listeners with some powerful tips that they can practice. Because I do think, you know, I love change, but I think too, money, the
mm-hmm.
more I am aging, the more
mm-hmm.
The impact of sudden change, I'm not as resilient as I used to be, but I am resilient. I think my husband, on the other hand, he even admits it. I just hate change. And
mm-hmm.
in his living, you can only try to keep things to stay the same for so long. And then when change does inevitably happen, it will. I mean, that's probably, it's inevitable. I will guarantee that. We are human beings. We have a lifespan on this earth. We are constantly changing. And the inevitable, too, is we will transition into another life. So there is constant, and your body that you are in is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
I think embracing it. I don't know what comes to you with that.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's like you said, shifting your perspective about change because it is inevitable. So one of the big, you know, I think when change is more difficult is when you're perceiving your new situation to be much worse than your old situation. So in my daughter's case, for example, she had this great life with all these friends. She had a boyfriend. She had activities. She goes to college. She doesn't know anyone. So she's lost friends. She's lost a boyfriend. So she can't see how anything in her situation is better than what she had. And so that is the first reason why we will resist the change, because
mm-hmm.
we're perceiving it. And I am going to make a point that I'm saying the word perceiving it to be worse. Because, and in some cases it may be, I mean, if you lose someone in your life, that's a change, and it does feel like it's worse, and it probably is worse. Your life is not going to be the same if you lose a loved one. But in spite of that, even if it is worse, and I'm putting it in quotes, you can still you don't have to focus on what's so bad about your situation or what is worse. When you compare them, because there are, no matter what situation you find yourself in, there are things that you can find to be grateful about. Even if it is, it's helping me to grow as a person. It's helping me to develop my skill set to make new friends, because I never had to do that, because I went to school with these same kids from kindergarten or preschool, and friends just fell into my lap. I never had to try to make them. So now I get to develop this new skill set. So there's so many different ways you can change how you're looking at a situation so that it doesn't feel so terrible.
Exactly.
But if you continue to focus on all the things that you're perceiving as worse, it's going to make you feel worse. That's the bottom line. What you're thinking is going to create how you're feeling.
You know, and I do, I know I'll work with some people that tend to have a little bit of, I hate to use stigmatized negative and positive, but a little bit of a negative view on things, or
mm-hmm.
that's their tendency. And so I'm not going to say you have to be bouncing positive with new experiences, but I think what helps with resiliency is, and given to, you know, your daughter, it's almost a grieving process a little bit. You know, we have to honor of letting
go.
Yes,
definitely. Agreed.
And honor, you know, it's not that you're replacing or minimizing, you know, it's a way of, especially, you know, with grieving, it takes a time and it is a process. But getting to the point, too, you know, such as college, too, they're saying, you know, some research is saying that just being open to the idea of wanting new and positive experiences and inviting them in helps with the mindset of your approach to things and maybe your perspective into going in. And, you know, on an energetic level, everybody who knows me, I love energy. And why I love talking about energy, I do think it helps people strip away life and our surface look of life and go a little bit deeper on a conceptual way. But when you go in and approach a situation with I'm going to be open. You do resonate sometimes. It's what we call it law of attraction, but people can sense it, and sometimes it draws in those things that you know what you're feeling inside. It helps you, and it may even draw, just for say when you walk in a room and I'm smiling, people will be attracted to that. You know, it may help. It helps cope, and it helps bring in some of the changes that you may be wanting.
No, I agree. It is. You know, there's a lot of different reasons to not focus on all the terrible things about your change because of what I said, because you're going to feel worse. But then the second thing is it's going to be compounded because you are then not going to attract people into your life because it doesn't look like you're approachable if you're not looking like you're happy, and then you're not going to have friends, and then it's going to compound that for you and then confirm your belief that this is a really terrible situation. So it'll just, you'll prove yourself right because you'll then start doing things or not doing things because of what you think about your situation.
Right.
So, but I think that you hit an important point just before I don't mean to interrupt you, but just
you said
grieving process. So when we're talking about this, I really feel like it is okay to give yourself that time to grieve what you have lost, because change is, you are losing something, you're gaining something else, but you are losing something. And so it's okay to feel sad about it.
Right.
And to honor those feelings.
Okay, exactly. Now, I kind of want to take this to a little bit of a different path, too. Let's just say you have some overwhelming change, and sometimes I can correlate to stress. I'll give an example of me, myself. Not that it was overwhelming, but where I knew I had to tap into strengthening my resiliency, really. I took a national job doing contract work with coaching. And that was a big shift for me, not only, you know, being a private practice, just different cultures, different people, a mindset. So it was change, and very change in my schedule. And I, not that I was difficult, but I felt that my body was adapting. So where I want to go with this, I could have gotten overwhelmed by it. I didn't know necessarily how this change would ride out. I did hold on, and these are some of these key tips that I kind of want to help folks hold on to, so that if they're going through change, that you can tap into this. But what is extremely important if you're going through overwhelming change or, you know, difficult change, is really number one is to put your health first. I really feel that strongly, and why that's so important is you need to, if you're having difficulty emotionally, it is really strong to go back to the basics so you can harden yourself and be able to persevere through some changes. People underestimate, you know, at this time, you know, just make sure you're eating nourishing food, you're getting proper sleep. Believe it or not, these are pillars, they say. There's pillars to managing change. And I do believe this is very strong. It's like a house. You know, you have to have a strong foundation to have a house. And when you have a strong foundation, you can build the house, and you can invite guests in, and you can enjoy your life. if you don't have these strong pillars, you kind of compromise. So they're interrelated too. They're saying nutrition, physical activity, sleep, managing stress through, you know, outside stress, healthy mind and feelings, which is where we're focusing on a lot here today, I think in the beginning of our conversation, and empowering and planning. These are all pillars that help manage change. And I do believe it helps in coping. You know, if I have overwhelming stress, I believe it or not, like I have people, I'm like, just go out running. It'll help clear your energy and it'll help you cope. You know, people who are grieving, you know, when you just cannot feel like you can, you know, move forward or lift your head out of bed, I'm like, just take a tiny step forward. And even if that's go prepare a meal for yourself that's nutritional, go for just a slight walk. I think my father in the grieving, they just said, try to go for a daily walk. And, like, it was very profound for him. It helped him, you know, helped him remember we are moving forward physically, too. You know, I think him walking and clearing his mind and coping and being able to adapt to the change.
No, I agree. I think that's a really great point of, you know, taking some action, not just those, it's two, you know, twofold. Yes, changing your thinking and your perspective, but also then taking some action to cope with your stress. Like you said, to find activities that you find nourishing. For each one of us, it's different. You know, some people, maybe it's to go hiking or to go running, or some people it might be to take a bath or, you know, light a candle, read a book. I mean, whatever, even if it's and going out with friends, sometimes people find that nourishing as well. You know, make a phone call to a close friend, whatever it is that you feel will help replenish you.
Boost
so that's
your energy.
A really important point, I think you brought.
And where that kind of goes into a little bit, is it taking responsibility for yourself in those dealing with, because you are dealing with change too. And you are dealing with it, and it gives you ownership of it, which helps also with the perspective of it, really. I once read a quote, and I think it's very positive. When all else fails, remember that if your body, your mind will follow your body. And I love that. I think you and I work really on the mental level. But I think that was, for me, that was really profound. And what that is it can shift my energy, you know, and again, open me to new things and using that as a tool. So let's go into this.
No, I agree.
Billy, yep. And, you know, the one side note I do want to say, and I know a lot, we draw off a lot of information and literature when we put our conversations together to help share. And a lot of it, you know, it stress to or point out that if change is becoming overwhelming, just remember, you know, life can be difficult to navigate in our fast-paced moving society. And I believe it is just rapid. Quickly, and how much we're responsible for in our day, you know, with technology speeding up, that, you know, reach out. You know, there are times when people, for me too, perspective, sometimes that's what coaches are here for too. If you need perspective on a situation, that helps you deal sometimes with the change. You don't have to deal with things all the time by yourself. Friends, family, support groups, counselors, just reach out. You know, if you're struggling, we all struggle in life. They talk about, you know, life is about suffering in so many ways. You know, we have a tendency, our mind, whether it's internally, of always perhaps thinking, wanting more or being more. And I think that whole state too leads into, I think, you know, Money, you read a lot of Buddhism, and I'm trying to bring the essence of that out in the conversation. But remember, too, that, you know, there are ways of coping. You're never, ever alone.
No, I agree. I said before, reach to a friend, or if you feel like you need more support than that, then get it. You know, talk to a coach or counselor or whatever you need.
So, with going into building resiliency, it does take practice. And I'm going to highlight some of the key things they say. And number one is connect with others. It is really important to strong connections with friends, family, coworkers. If we don't have those, there's communities, there's groups, there's volunteer work, that can provide you with support you need to withstand many of life experiences. Really, life is full of experience. That's why we're here, to learn and to grow and to take in. So surround yourself with people who have, if you are not positive or if you cannot see bleak, having people around you that have positive attitudes or values and morals that can support and sustain your needs in a difficult time is very healing and it will help with resiliency.
Definitely.
Yep. Definitely. Some parts of
resiliency. I mean, you need that.
I think we all need that.
Need
in general.
Social contact, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just going to read some and then I'll let you take the floor. But they also say, you know, to help our resiliency, which helps with change, is to make each day count. Set small, attainable goals each day to give yourself a sense of purpose and achievement. You know, if you're really struggling, you know, perhaps, you know, if I'm at college and all I'm thinking about is, you know, my past friends, well, you know, in the day, set a micro goal for yourself. These are ways to help you move forward. You can also set maybe long-term goals to help you look forward to a more meaningful future and just reflect positively on what you have been able to accomplish each day is really profound in helping with resiliency.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. A couple other things to hold on to is that, you know, with money also, I don't know if we, with your daughter, of how she would resonate, but a lot of times just looking back on your past experience. You know, I just did this with my son. He went out, he tried out for a higher level hockey team, and he was super nervous, like super, super nervous, almost to the point where I think he was going to stall himself. And he went through it, and he persevered a little coaching to, you know, have him focus his intention. And we got in the car, and he brought up now, like, Mom, I go, and it's like I met friends, and I suggested to him, I just hold on to that. That can be very powerful for you later in life. You know, tap into that. It was a difficult circumstance. He was going to talk himself out of it, which is normal. Mm-hmm. It's the unknown. Not wanting to change something, and it was completely new, all new people, same thing, but he knew he was so used to being with the same team, new coaches, you know, somewhat judgment. he was going to be trying out. But he persevered, and actually he adjusted and adapted, and he's happy for the decision he made. Pulling out your life experiences, whether small or big, is really huge in times of challenging circumstances or trying to manage change.
Yeah, you know, I think that's important because we've been talking about change being inevitable and how we resist change, and we're kind of focusing on change that we didn't choose because that happens all the time, and that's what we have no control over that. Like you're going to graduate from high school and then you're going to graduate from college or you're going to get divorced. I mean, I help a lot of people through that transition and people resist that change because it's a big change in your life. So sometimes change, many times we have change that we did not choose, and that's what we had been talking about. But you brought up an interesting point with your son is that this is a change that he did choose. And it was it's great because he felt like it was growth for him to try out for another team that was a more competitive team. The same with jobs. I mean, I see people staying in jobs that they just aren't growing, and they just wake up every day and it's just mediocre. Like they just go to work for the sake of getting the paycheck. And I feel the reason they don't want the change. So even though where we are isn't even good. I mean, we had previously been talking about how you have changed and you lose a good situation. Sometimes people stay in a bad situation because they don't want to change.
Exactly.
You know, it's just better to stay what they know, and because they're resistant to change, because it's like, I don't want to, what if I hate my other job worse? Or your son could say, you know, what if it's too hard, or what if I'm not that good on the team, or what if I don't like the people on it? You know, all of those things could have talked him out of trying out, and he would have missed out on that opportunity if he was resistant to that change. So it's that was an you know, a good, an admirable quality for him, and that kind of quality will only serve him in the future when it comes to whatever he's doing.
Thank you for pulling that out, because it is really strong. And I think, you know, in coaching, we see it a lot, too, where people come in and they want change. Most of them do, you know, or they're soul searching a little bit deeper. And I do, you're 100% correct. Like, I do see people that get into jobs for so long, and they are out of practice of adapting to change. And what happens when we don't do change that often? Change comes. I want to say you get probably more magnified in the fear of change. Yeah, you start focusing. A little tagline I shared with my son, I said, it's really important to know when to leave the party. And he looked at me, I'm like, you know, just remember that. And he's like, you're right. And he had some great teachers at school, too, that talked about, you know, encourage mindset growth. So he was a little familiar with our conversation. But, yeah, by helping yourself grow in new experiences and staying fresh on resiliency, when not only is it excellent for growth, but it is excellent for equipping you in life.
Right.
When change
happens that you don't choose. Yeah. So if you practice making change for your better, you know, your higher good, when you don't have to, when change does come, you're definitely more resilient. Because you've already developed the skills. Like, your son had to develop those skills when he chose to go on another team. And now if something happens and this team falls apart and he's forced to go to another team, like, he's going to adapt to that a lot
better. Exactly. Yeah. And what I'd like to leave with that, because believe it or not, our show is winding down, but just a simple practice. Okay, we don't necessarily have to upheave our jobs to practice change, but I work with clients. I'm like, just make it part of your day. If you are in, like, notice your patterns through your day. How routine are you? And I'll catch myself, too. I'll go down. I'll get my cup of coffee. I'll let my dog out. I'm like, I encourage or invite you to shift it. Even if you roll out of the bed on the opposite side, do that. Or, you know, I think it was Tony Robbins in one of his books, which I think is great, like a little, just a slightly amped up, is he was talking about practicing jumping in a cold pool. Like, just jumping, it's like a good mental practice, too, you know. If you would like to embrace it and be, I say, proactive in your life with change, I encourage you, try something new, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly. Perhaps go to a new restaurant once a month. Try a different food. When you do these little practices, I think it's human nature to want to be a creature of habit at times. There's comfort. We want comfort, you know, especially in our fast-paced world. But again, I do think practicing daily little shifting in our, you know, it's not only flexing your mental and emotional and spiritual resiliency, it definitely, I think, would be a useful tool. Any final thoughts, Lynn?
No, I agree. I've heard that too, like hold your toothbrush with your left hand or, you know, something. It will open up the, you know, circuits in your brain.
And energy in your day.
With change, it is, yeah, exactly. So it's like the body, like you said, I think Tony Robbins is very physical, like he gets a lot of energy from that, taking that physical action. So I'm not surprised that he would say jump in a pool. That's not for everyone. I'm thinking, I might get out of that on the other side, but
there you go.
Pool. But but whatever step you can do.
And the little things matter. You know, the little things matter. And, you know, two last takeaways I'd like to say is that, you know, I think Money and I, we both covered really that change has a lot of dynamics, whether it's circumstances, change in belief. I see that a lot, too. I see people struggling, you know, what they were raised and now in midlife, what they're finding, feelings, even changing with our body, changing in relationships, changing, you know, educationally. There's so many dynamics, but you can practice it on a daily way. It's by trying to embrace the little changes in your daily, you know, if you're at the checkout line, try this. I encourage everyone, smile at the next person. Just smile at someone and see how it'll change your energy. Okay, Monty, thank you for being with
That's
us.
Great.
I appreciate
okay.
all the listeners
you.
Out there. Yep. If you'd like to reach us, please feel free to reach Monty and I. We can be found again at WNYLifeCoaching.com, or you can reach us at 716-560-6552. Good day. Powers from within. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.